Welcome to our podcast, Raising the Aviation Bar, a Eurocontrol podcast that explores the stories of the people who are transforming European aviation from the ground to the sky.
Hello, my name is Anita Zech, and in today's episode, I'll be speaking to Dorothea von Boxberg, CEO of Brussels Airlines. Dorothea joined the Lufthansa Group in 2007, serving in several leadership roles, among others as Lufthansa Cargo's chief executive. Since April 2023, she is the CEO of Brussels Airlines. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, Ms. von Boxberg.
Very welcome.
In the podcast, we like to get some insight into the personal side of our interviewees. You are an engineer and an economist by education. Can you tell us a bit more about yourself, your background, and how you came to work in aviation?
Yeah, sure, I can. So actually, I started out my career in a consultancy, Boston Consulting, and that, I think, helps you to see a broad range of business questions in a short time frame and learn from that. And then I went actually to the Star Alliance first. That is actually a management team working on the Alliance projects. And that was a nice overview on what different airlines do. And then for 18 years, I'm now in the Lufthansa Group. Worked a long time in Lufthansa and Lufthansa Cargo, and now for 1 year in Brussels Airlines. And I've been on the passenger side, in the strategy topics and the customer-related topics. I've been on the cargo airline side, also in the more commercial topics and customer-related topics, and then CEO. And now being since 1 year here at Brussels Airlines at the helm and enjoying that. I've got three boys as children, so it never gets boring. I think the industry is good for never a dull moment, but my family as well. So,
excellent. You took over the lead of Lufthansa Cargo during the pandemic, a hugely important time for cargo, and one in which the carrier would really play an important role in the global challenge of moving vital supplies and especially vaccines. So I imagine this must have been a really exciting time for you. Can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that you faced and what you felt you and your team achieved in your time there?
It's indeed been a very exciting time, no doubt. So if we think about the purpose of the Lufthansa Group, it's really connecting people, cultures and economies. And the topic of people and cultures came to quite an abrupt standstill when so many aircraft were grounded on the passenger side. Yeah, but on the cargo side, we were still flying. And it came with a lot of challenges. I mean, most of them operational, obviously. Yeah, so, for example, I'm still absolutely amazed by the Chinese teams who could either be at home in their lockdown or at work in their lockdown. And we had the colleagues choosing for the closed loop lockdown at work, and they stayed there for 40, 60 days, not going home at all, sleeping in the cargo terminals, doing the work, keeping it up. I mean, that was absolutely amazing. Yeah, or also the topic of pilots. I mean, the very early days, where did they go to? They still flew to China, although there was this weird new illness that they didn't know much about. And we had lots of challenges like putting up a hub in Novosibirsk very quickly, then having the layovers in Seoul rather than in Shanghai or Beijing. Could we still fly to New York during the high times of the pandemic there? So a lot of challenges, but it was also, I think, a time that we all enjoyed because it was so cool to see the impact, to bring over the protective masks first, then the tests, later the vaccines, but also when everybody was moving into home office. I mean, where did all the extra laptops and extra speakers and extra devices come from? Many of them were brought in by air freight. So it was really, I think, very rewarding for everybody in the team to see what we can do. And then, of course, it was also financially very attractive at that time and a great contribution to the survival of the Lufthansa Group. That was also something everybody was really proud of.
So at the time where actually the whole sector faced an incredibly difficult time, you and your team actually had some extremely successful moments, and it's really impressive to hear what was accomplished. You left Lufthansa Cargo at the beginning of 2023 to become the CEO of Brussels Airlines. Now, Brussels Airlines connects the capital of Belgium with over 85 destinations, 18 of which are in sub-Saharan Africa. I believe you are in charge of over 3,000 people here. What are your priorities for Brussels Airlines?
So Brussels Airlines has been through quite difficult times. So already before the pandemic, but then also during the pandemic. And the difficult times also meant that we have shrunk. So the company has been resized, is much smaller than it was. And now from there on, growing the company profitably. That's what I'm really dedicating myself to, and the whole team is dedicating themselves to, because we believe Brussels Airlines could and should be much bigger. But of course, it needs to be done in a profitable way. And making sure that we grow steadily, that we don't go back to some yo-yos that we maybe have done in the past sometimes. That is what is very important to me and the team. And you mentioned Africa. We are very proud of our African network. And I think it's the continent with a very relevant future for us in Europe and, of course, everybody in Africa. And we want to contribute to that. I think it's where you really see this connecting people and cultures a lot. And I think we can contribute to that and we'd love to do that. And for the capital of Europe, of course, it's important to be also connected to the rest of Europe very well. And we want to add more to that and deliver very good services there.
Many exciting projects. Let's talk a bit about reducing emissions and sustainability. Now, reaching climate neutrality is a key priority for the aviation industry. But for example, long-haul flights currently account for more than 50% of all aviation CO2 emissions. This is an example from the EU27 plus the UK. And even though they make up only 10% of flights, what would you say to those who claim that decarbonizing aviation is not possible?
Well, I would say it's definitely difficult. So we are one of the hard to abate industries. So it's not, bloops, you just do it and done. But we are very dedicated to going that path. And we've set ourselves also very ambitious targets. So halving our CO2 emissions by 2030 and getting to net zero by 2050. That's not just the Brussels Airlines target. That's the whole Lufthansa Group who's dedicated to that. And so we've made our plans. And I think it's three major topics. It's about fleet renewal and making sure you use engines that are efficient. It's about operations, so how can we fly more efficiently? And then, of course, it's sustainable aviation fuels where the CO2 is taken out of the air before you fly. You can, of course, also use compensation projects, but they take the CO2 out of the air after the flight and in some projects quite late after the flight. I think this is why there's also quite some discussion about it, and why we only use the gold standard projects that have these shorter timeframes. But if you go into fleet renewal, so if you think about next generation aircraft of any type, they're always these 15%, sometimes 20% more efficient than the older generation. That is why the investment in new aircraft is super important. And for us at Brussels Airlines, it's the A320neos, where we've started getting the first three ones last year, two more this year, and then continue to roll over our fleet into that new generation. That is really helpful. Then on the operations, it's very many measures, and I'm quite amazed how much effort we put in it and how much thought goes into it. But many, many measures that all together add up to a significant saving, maybe 5%, 6%, but only 5 or 6% also at the same time, It's topics like, do the pilots have a very good forecast of how much fuel they will need so that they only take as much as they really need? Because otherwise you carry the weight of the fuel and that creates extra fuel burn as one thing. Or on the apron at the airport, single engine taxiing. So you could use both engines, but that burns more fuel. So just using one makes sense. And a lot has to do with feedbacks also to pilots to so that they fully understand what happens when they have certain procedures. But some of it is also more technology driven. Like, for example, there has been this development of Lufthansa Technik together with BASF to develop a foil that you can put at the hull of aircraft. And it's called shark skin, aero shark indeed. And that helps to reduce the drag. So aircraft reduce their emissions by actually up to 3%, so a lot, by just applying such a foil. So operations, huge topic. And actually, that's also where air traffic control comes in. Can we fly direct or not? Of course, that's also a topic there. And then about sustainable aviation fuels, there it's really a topic of price and availability. So it's a lot more costly than kerosene of fossil origins today. That's one topic. And the other one is how much of it is available. Today, I would say almost 100% of the SAF is biogene. And that is, of course, not endlessly scalable because it goes against feedstocks for food or has that these kinds of limitations. And then there are the new technologies like power to liquid. But these technologies aren't there. So, I mean, theoretically they're there, but you don't have any large-scale refineries already offering it. And that's, I think, one of the big topics going forward. And that's all when you still fly. I mean, we also look into intermodality, so not flying some of the shorter distances, which in Belgium actually hasn't really worked out well because we don't get the high-speed train connections to Zaventem Airport, which both we and also Brussels Airport Company would very much like to have, and we talk with train operators. We would love to have those connections, but they're not there yet. And if they're not there yet, well, we can't use them.
Another challenge many companies are facing today is recruiting and retaining young people. Now, many airline jobs require physical presence, whereas other sectors can offer more of a balance. What strategies do you think are most efficient for attracting and retaining top talent?
Yeah, so I think we do have a good reputation in the market. So every year we get about 15,000 applications. That is still very much, although, yes, we also see that it gets less in some areas. And of course, there are some profiles that are hard to recruit. Yeah. And then once we have people, of course, we try to do good onboarding, to offer good development options, to have a career plan for people. So these are things that where we think they're important in everyday life for people to be seen, to be part of the community, to be able to contribute. All of that is important on the way of, well, retaining good talent.
Absolutely. Moving on to a slightly different topic, more geopolitical topic. Sadly, the war in Ukraine is still continuing, and it has significantly reduced available airspace in Europe, also due to the fact that military flights within Europe have tripled. Now, has there also been a significant impact to Brussels Airlines? Could you maybe fill us in on that?
So we do see quite a topic in delays from congested airspace. So in that sense, we have definitely been impacted. But we didn't fly to Kiev before the war, nor now. So operationally in the network, it hasn't really affected us that much.
A key priority for Eurocontrol is to most efficiently manage capacity in the network and support aircraft operators and the entire aviation sector. Could you share with us what Brussels Airlines is doing to best prepare for busy summer traffic?
Yeah, and it's probably a twofold answer. Yeah, it's about what we're doing now concretely for this summer, but also what are we working on more strategically in the longer or midterm. Yeah, so short term this summer, we know that there will be some congestion. And we hope actually that we don't see again the air traffic control strikes in France that have impacted us a lot last year. So that would, of course, already help if all the ATCs in Europe are working. That's one part of it. But then what do we do as an airline? It's a question of which block hours do we actually put into our flight plans for each of the flights? So how much buffer time is in there? So in the end, we make ourselves less productive by trying to reduce then delays. It's another measure in that same sense would be to have after the morning flights a buffer in your flight plan just to make sure that you can catch up again rather getting in than going into the rotating delays and then maybe not making your last flight in the day. So these are the kinds of things we try to do as Brussels Airlines. And then together with our partner, Brussels Airport, it's of course all these topics about making sure that we don't incur delays on the ground. One of the topics we have here on the ground is the topic of border control. So people going to or coming from Africa that don't stay within the Schengen area, how can we make sure that these passengers don't get delayed in the airport and then also the flight get delays if lots of people are still missing? Yeah. So these kinds of things we work on. In the more mid to long term, we would have loved to see some movement in the Single European Skies proposal, the CES2+, where we think it's actually hardly any progress or no progress with the proposals. And I think that's bad for delays, but it's also bad for the environment, because, I mean, it means flying zigzag, flying too long times, flying too low often, and that means using more fuel, burning more fuel on these flights. And what we would like to work on with Eurocontrol more is this whole topic of how can we use the capacity better that is there. And one of this is the trajectory-based operations. So we are now getting the first aircraft that are able to tell you at Eurocontrol how we plan to fly. So you've got the information much earlier. And that should also help to debottleneck some of the difficult places if you know better who's coming when and then work better with that. And again, we hope from that to be able, for example, from the US to fly longer at the high altitude and not be handed over to the ATCs here at much lower height and, again, more fuel burn. So I think there are topics we can and should address together, and we're very happily working on that together.
Very good. I'm coming to already to one of my last questions, my last question. Technological developments such as artificial intelligence are changing society and also the way we work. How does it influence your work and maybe Brussels Airlines plans for the future?
Yeah, so I think we are in a learning mode, like I think most companies would be right now. Yeah, but we've got these topics like the Microsoft Copilot that helps you do minutes of a meeting that this has been recorded. So it's quite nice to see how well it works. Yes, you need to still read it through and maybe do some corrections, but it's very efficient. Or another topic that we've launched is the chatbot. Our chatbot is called Charlie, and that is interfacing with customers that have any kind of servicing requirement. And, well, it probably still needs to learn our Charlie, but it already is really good in languages, so definitely speaking Dutch and French and English, but maybe can still improve on the servicing side, but a big efficiency driver in terms of making help accessible at any time for our customers and reachable at any time and in their language, in the way they want to say it, rather than, I don't know, filling in a form or something on the internet. Yeah. So, yeah, and internally, another topic we have also is especially cabin crews, but also cockpit crews are required to or are asked to give us feedback on things that don't work. So if a seat is broke or a meal is not well received by customers or the loading is not perfect for what customers really demand. So having this feedback loop from operation back to any function preparing something is super important. And we get a lot of these feedbacks and we use also now a large language programs that help us, again, get the gist out of the many, many, many comments and evaluate what has been up the highest, what's most important, what are the drivers for dissatisfaction, these kinds of things. So I think lots of opportunities out there.
Lots of potential to profit as a company and also for the passengers.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights and thank you to our listeners for joining. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe.
From the ground to the sky.